Yeah, it's been a long time, and obviously things, so we forget things, but I think we were going over kind of an overview of the Maral Svarim, and I think the one that I was talking about at the end is the Sefer Be'er HaGola. Be'er HaGola is a very, very intriguing work. In fact, there's even a question how you pronounce the title. Is it Be'er HaGola or Be'er HaGula? And the reason is because the problem basically is the Maral wrote a poem as a hakdama to the work, and the word, the title, Be'er HaX, is sandwiched between two rhyming lines, one ending with a segel and one ending with a kamas. So there's a machlekas, if mikra nidris lefanav or mikra nidris liachra, whether gola rhymes with the segel line before or it rhymes with the kamas line afterwards, and etc. But the Velt does pronounce the name of the Sefer Be'er HaGola, and Gola in turn has a double meaning, and the Maral is meramish to the double meaning L'chalapachas, and that is a Be'er unlike a bore. A bore is a collection of rainwater. It's stagnant. It doesn't move. A Be'er is like a it's a well, which has it as a well, but it refers to a well which is an accumulation of gushing water, like a Mayan. Be'er therefore represents the constant rejuvenation of the Koach HaTorah, and Gola either means the well that is necessary because we're in Golus, I'll explain that, or it means the revelation of the well, the uncovering of the well, because the Maral is Merames that he lives in a door in which the Koach and the Emes of Torah, which is like a Be'er, a source of life, life-giving waters, has been covered up, has been covered with mud and with dirt. People trample on it, people don't respect it, people ignore it, and the Maral Sefer is designed to uncover the well, Be'er HaGola, the well which gets uncovered. And in fact, the Maral even has a nice pun at the end, because he says that there are seven Be'eros, there are seven chapters in Be'er HaGola. We'll talk about that in a moment. And he says that this Sefer represents Be'er Sheva Asher LeYehuda. The city of Be'er Sheva is in the Chalik of Shevet Yehuda. The Maral's name was Yehuda. He says he offers this Sefer as the Be'er Sheva Asher Be'eretz Yehuda, etc. And what is the purpose of Be'er HaGola? So here, what's interesting is, all of the Maral's Svarim, except for this one, have a single identifiable theme. So Gevuras Hashem is about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Teferes Yisrael is about Matan Torah. Netzach Yisrael, the eternity of Yisrael, is about Golos, Geula, and Moshiach. Nesivas Olam is not a single topic, but it's divided into chapters. It's about Amida, whether it's good Midos, Anova, or bad Midos, Gaiva, right? Nesivas Olam, there's the Nesiv of Anova, the Nesiv of Gaiva, the Nesiv of Tzaka, etc. And then we have Sfarim like Derech Chaim, which is a Perish on Pirkei Avos. And then, indeed, later, this was after the Maral died, we uncovered Chidushi Agada, in which he actually goes through the Masechtas and goes to the Agada to end the light. But Be'er, now, the Maral's Derech in all of his Sfarim is very much the same, and he says it. He says, although I think he's being overly modest, we would say, that all he wants to do is gather together the Mamore Chazal on a subject and offer a basic explanation of them so you see how deep they are. But it turns out like this. It turns out that, let's take a Sefer like Gevuros Hashem. The Iker purpose of Gevuros Hashem is to teach me about the Tzias Mitzrayim. Derech Agav, once I see the deep meaning of Chazal about Yetzias Mitzrayim, I automatically have tremendous respect and reverence for Chazal, because they are the ones that were Megala, the depths of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So every Sefer has like an Iker goal, but the Totsah of that Iker goal is Amunas Chachamim and great, great admiration and reverence for the words of Chazal. Be'er HaGola is exactly the Hepech. The theme and the thesis of Be'er HaGola is about Chazal. is about the greatness of Chazal, about the depth of Chazal, and specifically the Maral is going to point out that this Sefer was miyused on seven arguments that people, we'll talk about which people were making against the words of Chazal, particularly the Gemara, and because of this they were mevazeh the words of Chazal. They said that they didn't make sense, they were wrong, they were erroneous or intentionally false. And the Maral's purpose is to bring back the kavod of Chazal. And as a result, you'll find that in Be'er HaGaila, he'll often say like this. He'll bring in a Maimer Chazal, which people misunderstand and people criticize and people say is foolish, Chas V'Shalom, whatever. He'll show the deep wisdom, and then he'll say, but I don't have to explain everything about this, because my job is not to explain the Maimer. My job is to be Meisir the Taluna. My job is to remove the Tanya. So really, this is the opposite trajectory of all of his other Svarim. In all of his other Svarim, his Iker was to be Masbir a particular subject. And Mimela, you see the depth of Chazal. Here it's the other way around. He wants you to see the depth of Chazal. Once you see the depth, he doesn't even have to be Masbir all of the details. He says, you see what we're talking about here. So, Be'er HaGaila, now in the Hakdama, the Maral is Makasher, Be'er HaGaila with the Sefer Tiferes Yisrael. As he says, my Sefer Tiferes Yisrael is about Matan Torah, and that's primarily the Midrashim and the Chazal about Torah Shebichsav. Be'er HaGaila is the complementary work on the idea of Torah Shebal Peh. Now, I'm going to go over what the Talunos are and what the Maral says Bekitzer about them. And again, as I say, this is actually one of the more difficult Svarim of the Maral, so this is more of a summary of the Sefer than it is to actually go be'ion into what he says. But again, Baruch Hashem, the Sifrei Maral are Mitsuyin, so if you get a cheshek to look and be ma'ayin, that would be a very kedai thing. Rev Hartman put out a three-volume Be'er HaGaila. So you have all those footnotes, and I have another one here. This is a one-volume Be'er HaGaila by somebody else, Rav Nurishel. Maybe he's appropriate of the Dati Liumi world. I guess on Yom HaTzmaut, maybe on Yom HaTzmaut, it might be appropriate to bring this in symbolically. He is a Haredi personality, but right. Yeah. By the way, tomorrow, I'm just wondering, you know, tomorrow, you know, Yoav is having, making a bris. I don't know if there's going to be davening, but I was saying this is a test case for the famous, mice of the Chazon Ish. You know, everyone knows, I don't even know if it's true, but the belt says the story. Yeah, I'm not even going to say it's true, but the belt says, but the belt has a famous story that there was a bris on Yom HaTzmaut, and the Chazon Ish said to say Tachanun, so people shouldn't interpret that it was also Yom HaTzmaut. So we'll see if there's davening tomorrow. We'll see Taka. That's not how far we go. Unless it's not as that. It's so pashut that the Haredi world says Tachanun that there's no one's going to have a Havamina. There won't be. No, because in the early years of the state, the boundaries were not very set. I remember that. Rav Shach, Rav Shach was living in Yerushalayim in 1948, 1949, and he was davening obviously in a, we would call, I mean the word Chabedi wasn't used that so much, but he was davening in a shul of Bnei Torah Talmidei Chachamim, and there were a lot of debates. Do we say Hallel? Do we not say Hallel? And people were arguing pro and con, and you know, Rav Shach got up and said, you know, we don't have the kayak to do that, but so maybe the Chazon Ish had to do it then. Probably there's no Indian of Bima. They be it as it may, the Be'er HaGaila is a difficult cipher, but it's kedai to at least look at some of these things. So I want to go over things. In the Hakdama, the Maral starts off with a very, very powerful statement. It's a very beautiful statement. He actually says, the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of Chachma, is to be makir your own madrega. And he says that when a person knows how far he is from Chachma, that is already a sign that he recognizes the greatness of Chachma. When a person thinks he's so great, in other words, he's not makir, he thinks he's as good as Chazal, he thinks he's as smart as Chazal, or he thinks that Chazal are inferior to him, then he's a shaita in two ways. He's a shaita because he doesn't understand what Chazal are saying, and he's a shaita because he doesn't know how far he is from Chachma. Masha'enkein, a person who knows he doesn't understand what Chazal is saying, he might be a fool because he doesn't understand what Chazal is saying, but at least he's not a fool because he understands he doesn't understand. And therefore he says that a person who is makir, that he doesn't understand, is karev to the maila of chachma, because he's makir that there's a wisdom that is beyond him. And the Maral gives a lot of analogies. He says, basar chai, when your flesh is healthy, and I stick a needle or an ismo, right? So the basar chai is margish ismo. When you're dead, or if God forbid there's gangrene, which is, it mean basically the tissue is dead, you jab a knife, there is no feeling. So he says, when we feel the pain of our ignorance, that's a sign we have spiritual life. When a person thinks, he's a chacham, it's like the person is dead. So the Maral says that what I'm trying to tell you here is really, although the Sefer itself is a very deep and complicated Sefer, but part of what I'm trying to tell you is that you, and I, we include all of us, none of us knows what's going on. And by at least recognizing that none of us really understand what's going on, that already puts us on a madrega of chachma that is much, much greater than the person who's not even makir. Actually, there is a similar saying of Aristotle that the Rishonim quote, the Rambam quotes it, and that is, Tachlis hayediya sher neida shelo yodim. The purpose of all of our knowledge is that we should know that we don't know. That a person has to know. And in this, the Maral brings the famous Gemara in Erevin, which is Rav Yechanan. Rav Yechanan was the first generation of Amiram, right? Rav Yechanan was a Talmud of Rav Yehuda HaNasi. Rav Yechanan was the youngest Talmud of the last Tanoim. And Rav Yechanan said, the famous Gemara, that Liban shel Rishonim, the heart of the earlier generations, was kipischei shel ulam, was like the doorway or the entrance of the ulam. The ulam was the hallway in front of the Beis HaMikdash, and that was the widest doorway. That was a Pesach of 20 amos. And the liban shel achreinim, the later generations, and he's referring to the Tanoim, the later Tanoim, were kipischei shel heichal, was like the doorway of the heichal, which is only 10 amos. Right, so 20 to 10, and Rav Yochanan says, and we, our opening, our capacity to absorb chachma, is kamachat nekev sitkis. It's like the eye of a needle, right? The hole that a needle makes in a fabric, right? So look at how Rav Yochanan is describing. Rav Yochanan says we go from 20 amos to 10 amos to a needle prick. And then the Gemara goes on, Abaya and Rava take it further. And Abaya says, the amount of chachma we absorb is like a stake, like a wooden peg being driven into a wall. So the wooden peg might be 3 feet. And all you can get into the wall is like a quarter inch. Imagine you're trying to bang something into a wall. It doesn't go in. Only a tiny bit goes in. And Rava said further, we are like a finger that is pressed into wax. Now, Alex, when the Maral goes into the analogies, right? One of the things the Maral always does is when Chazal give mashalim, the Maral always wants to know exactly why that mashal is given. I'll come to it. So again, so Rav Yochanan ended with, we're like a needle prick in a fabric. And then Abaya says, we are like a wooden stake being driven into a wall. And Rava says, we are like a finger in a touching wax. And then Ravashi is the last person mentioned, right? Ravashi says, and we are like a finger that is stuck into a well of water. Now again, the Maral is masber this in the following way. First of all, this is more in Erevin. The Maral says the notion of a Pesach, right? We start off with the notion of a doorway, an entrance. Right, a Pesach is something that's makabel, right? An entrance is able to receive. So when we talk about a person's capacity to absorb wisdom, we can talk about that as a Pesach, right? So the earlier generations, now a normal Pesach, halachically, a normal Pesach is up to 10 amos. In fact, we know in the Hilchos Erevin that, right, when you have a breach in a wall, right, normally to be a Rishus HaYachid, it has to be surrounded by walls, putting aside Suras HaPesach, but even if there's a Pirtza in a wall, it has the status of an entranceway, unless it is more than 10 amos. Once it's more than 10 amos, it is called a breach. It is not called a Pesach, and you have to be misakin it some way. So a Stam Pesach is 10 amos. Now, what we're saying is that normally the idea is that the Pesach represents your capacity to receive Chachma. So the earlier generations, the Seichel was misgaber over the Guf. The mind, the intellect, was misgaber over the Guf. So even though a normal Pesach was 10, their Seichel was so great, it broke down the walls of the Guf. And therefore it was 20, double. Later, it was proportional. The Seichel and the Guf were kind of balanced. When it's balanced in appropriate proportion, meaning as opposed to the Seichel being so powerful that it was misgaber over the Guf, that's how you get a 10. Okay? And the Maral points out an interesting paradox. L'chaira, why would the Ulam had less Kedusha than the Heichel. So if a Pesach represents the capacity to absorb wisdom, why would the Ulam be 20 and the Heichel be 10? So the Maral says, see, that's exactly the point. He says, the very fact, because remember, whatever Kedusha enters the Ulam is going to go into the Heichel, right? It doesn't stay in the Ulam. So he says, the very fact that the Ulam had less Kedusha means you needed a bigger breach to bring in the same amount of Chachma, because the natural boundaries of the Ulam would not be able to take this Chachma unless you had an extraordinary intervention. Right, so therefore the need for a larger Pesach is actually a remez that there's less natural Kedusha there, and therefore you need more of a breach to be able to be Makadal. But be it as it may, we start off with this idea that the Doris HaRishonim, the Seichel was misgaber over the Guf. In the Doris HaAchronim, there was more of a proportion, and that's why you would get 10. By Rabbi Yechanin's generation already, we're like a little hole, we absorb. Okay, but then we have three more mishalim, and I left out something. When Abaya says we are like a peg that is stuck into a wall, he adds the following: we are like a yaseg l'sichsa or sichsa l'guda. Sichsa l'guda is a peg stuck into a wall. He says big mara. So gemara does not mean gemara per se, but gemara means the chachma that you need to be makabel from other people, like a rebbe. So we're like a peg that's stuck in a wall, meaning only a little part of the peg gets into the wall. Very little gets in. Now, when Rava says we're like a finger stuck in wax, he adds the word for svara. So Abaya uses the dimion of a peg for the chachma that you're makabel from a rebbe, and Rava uses the dimion of wax for the svaras that you come up with yourself. And this is the cheshbon. This is actually very, 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 very interesting. The Maral says, what's the idea of wax? You can stick your finger in wax and you can make an impression in the wax. But because it's wax, you can move your finger around. It's not really held in position. So he says, when svaras are less clear, we're not really sure of their implications. We clare around, right? Oh, maybe this, maybe this. Maybe. That's what he says the idea of the wax is, meaning it's a different dimion. The dimion of the peg in the wall just means we absorb so little. The idea of the wax is not referring to how little we absorb, but how we lack clarity, and therefore our finger can move around here, there, because we're never very sure. It refers to the notion that if in Gemara we're makabel very little, in Svara we don't have the clarity. Right? We're always in doubt. In fact, this is what the Svarim say. if you look at the Tshuvas HaGa'inim, right, the Ga'inim, it's a little bit of an exaggeration, but often the Ga'inim would be asked a Shaila, they would give a one-word answer. Like Rav Chaim Kineski does today, actually. But he'd say, Mutcher, Usher, you know, whatever it would be. Now, Bederach, and any, you know, and even Tshuva, like the Rashba, Tshuvas HaRashba, okay, the Rashba writes Tshuvas, but, you know, the Tshuvas tend to be relatively short. As the Doris go on, the Tshuvas get longer and longer and longer and longer and longer. But part of why a Tshuva needs to be longer is that as we have less clarity in things, we gotta consider maybe this, maybe that, maybe that, maybe that, maybe that, because we just don't know which way to go, and therefore we're kind of groping around. This is actually a chiluk between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. It says, you know, the Bavli, we have sugyas. The Yerushalmi sugyas are very, very short. I don't know if, you know, again, I mean, you know, the Yerushalmi will ask like one kasha, give one teretz, and then go on to another sugya. So, one of the hesberim that is given is this, and that is, in the darkness of galus, we can only perceive MS by a process of elimination, meaning to say we gotta go over every possibility, and when we show, well, this isn't right, and this isn't right, and this isn't right, and this isn't right, I guess this is what we're left with, this has to be right. Masha ain't kain, when you have a certain kesher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Avira, the Eretz Yisrael Machkim, the pshat is, you have a kasha, you have a teretz, right? You have a teretz, you don't have to kind of go through different study. So, that's what a Rav is saying. Rav is saying is, yes, so it's really similar to what the Gemara says about Rabbi Meir, that, it says, that, the halacha was not like Rabbi Meir in a lot of inyanim, because we're not able to be aimed al seif daita, meaning to say there was a certain clarity, but we don't understand it. So we need to go through all of the different studim and the like. So this is what the Maral says, is what Rava means when he says, we're etzba l'kira. We are like a finger in wax in svara. I mean, we go here and there, we're not really sure how to pin it down. And then finally, Ravashi says, l'gabe, what we remember in our learning, we're like a finger in water. And the mashal is very simple. You put your finger in water, then you take out your finger, there is no reshim there at all. Meaning to say, at least with the wax, I put my finger in wax, I remove my finger, there's something there. I put my finger in water, I take out my finger, there's nothing at all. And that's the pshat.
It's still wet.
Huh?
Still wet.
Your finger is, okay, there's something. Well, you think
there,
yeah, there's something. Okay, there's something. Okay, there's something, but comparatively little. So, the Maral brings this Gemara, and Derech Agav, he's Masberit, to basically show that people have to be modest, people have to be humble, people have to recognize the emes here, because Rav Yechanan was only two dairis away from the Tanoim that he was talking about. And then you have, you know, Abaye and Rava, and this is what they, and Ravashi, and this is what they said about themselves. What are we supposed to think about our ability to understand Torah? How would we describe ourselves? And he says, in fact, this is another Gemara that says, "Im arishayim kamalachim, if the earlier generations are angels, we can compare ourselves to people. And if we consider them people, we are like chamorim." And it adds, "And not like the chamor of Pinchas ben Yair, that was a smart donkey. We're like the dumb donkey, and the like."
He lives it out. They call him a donkey somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
That so, Gemara is chachma.
Huh?
That's
talking about chachma. That's talking about
chachma.
Well, again, it's referring to the whole thing, because the Maral says that the ability to absorb the chachma of Taira is also a connection to kedusha. He says, "Itainu chach." That it's not because they had bigger IQs than us necessarily, but because of the kedusha in their lives, right? They were makusher to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the makor of emes, and they understood. So the Maral again. So the purpose of the hakdama is to basically say, I'm writing this sefer, so people should not have the azus and the chutzpah and the delusions of grandeur to think that Chazal is like some rabbi in their generation or whatever it is. And by being makir, our yerida, we are karev el chachma, we are closer to chachma, by simply being makir, that we're not chachamim. Right? Now, so he then enumerates what are called the seven talunites. Talunites means the complaints, the accusations that people have against Chazal. Now, it's very, very interesting that the Maral has enumerated seven talunos that people have. The question is, who are these people? Where do these come from, so to speak? Are they simply things in the Weltereien? People, Maral goes to show and people are talking about this, or the like. So there's a lot of discussion. Maral is not entirely clear. There is one particular sefer that the Maral attacks, but that's only in the sixth bear. Most of the sefer is not against Rav Azariah de Min Adumim. So he's not the source of most of these talunas. So somebody searched. There's actually some very nice academic articles on this. And the Maral lived at a time when the Catholic Church was actively engaged in defaming and besmirching the Talmud. There were cases where Gemaras were burnt, etc. And this had been going on for 300 years. But very recently in Prague and in Central Europe generally, things were going on. And in fact, there were Jews who unfortunately became mishumadim, and some of them became priests. And because they had some background, they were participants in attacking the Gemara. So what this person did was, he looked at these pamphlets that the church put out, in which they would bring Mamorei Chazal and have various accusations. And he pointed out that of the 45 or so Gemaras that were commonly used by the church, the Maral addresses 43 of them. Which means to say, of course he has other ones as well, which means to say that there's a bit of a haichacha that the Maral was really addressing the attacks of the non-Jewish world. Now, the question is, but who is he talking to? This is Pashut. L'chari, it's Pashut that he's not talking to the non-Jewish world. He wrote Bir HaGaila in Hebrew. Granted, some of them could read Hebrew, whatever it is, but if you wanted specifically to answer the non-Jewish world, you would not write a sefer in Hebrew. But presumably, the chashash was that a lot of the tainus that he emanated from the Umos HaOlam and from the Mishumadim of Am Yisrael were penetrating Jews as well. Right, so he's writing it really to Am Yisrael, to Bnei Yisrael, that they should not be nimshach after all of these, after all of these times. Yeah.
What were they the two
say again?
Why didn't he address the
other two? Why didn't he address it to the guy?
No, the two other ones. You said it's
I don't know. That I don't know. I mean, the truth is, I mean, some of them were not really so difficult anyway. I mean, some of them, in fact, so even the ones the Maral addresses, he sometimes says, I don't even know what their problem is with this. You know, some of them are, it's Emma, some of them are not, you know, it's hard to know what was the kasha in the first place, but, and the like. So it seems to be reasonable hachachas that at least the tainus emanated from the non-Jewish world, but the Maral is using it to teach Am Yisrael that this is the Chachma of Chazal. So the seven tainus, the seven talunais, for which the Maral digs a well, so to speak, a be'er, to clear away the dirt and the filth and the like, are the following. The first taluna is a general attack on the concept of mitzvah d'rabbanan. He says, everyone knows that there are many, many commandments or many, many dinim that the Chachamim added to the Torah, whether they're gezeros, some of them are fences around the Torah, some of them are takanos, such as Hanukkah. Okay, Purim is not so much of a problem for the guy because Purim is in the Bible, at least. But Hanukkah, and the question that was raised is, where do the rabbis get the authority to add to the Torah? Does not God say in the Torah, you shall not add? Meaning the first be'er is simply the issue of rabbinic authority. From whence comes the authority of the Chachamim to add to the Torah? And the Maral points out that part of this kasha is not only the fact that they add to the Torah, but they also take away from the Torah. The Torah says, for Malkus, a person should be lashed 40 times, and they come along and they basically 39 times, right? So in this first be'er, again, I want to enumerate all seven of them so you'll get a sense of the sefer. The Maral points out the inyan of drabanans, takanos, gezeros, the idea of leisasor, that the Torah itself empowers the Chachamim to make these gezeros, And here he points out, actually the Ritva said it much earlier, he points out the idea of esmachta. Sometimes we say something is a rabbinic law, but there's a remez or an allusion to it in the written Torah. And the question is, how do you understand an esmachta? An esmachta is not the araisa. So is it just a mnemonic device? So the Ritva says no. The Ritva says an esmachta is Hashem is revealing to us what his ratzon is, but he's leaving it to the Chachamim to do something about it or not do something about it. The Maral gives an example that sometimes an architect may leave a building incomplete, but by looking at the incomplete building, you can figure out how he wants it to be completed. And so it's still a drabanan, but it's the ratzon hatayr. It's not stam as a mnemonic device.
Where's
so,
that ritual?
Yeah, huh? This is really is in Rosh Hashanah. It's by Malchias, Sichreinus, and Shevet. Because there's a problem that the Gemara seems to have drashas, which are at least the smachtas, and yet we find that it's a drabanan, and yet it says imru lefanai. So how is it shaykh? Hashem is saying imru lefanai. That's what the ritual says. But the Maral develops it as more and more arichas. Again, I'll go back to this, but I want to just enumerate the idea. Now, the second one goes back to the fact that many of Chazal's interpretations of verses, not Gezeros anymore, we're not talking Gezeros and Tekeros, we're talking about Drushot, seem to lead to illogical rules. Rules that make no sense. And he gives two main examples. And again, I'm not going to give you his answer. His answer is very complicated. But the two examples the Maral points out that people were bringing up, so these were Goyim, obviously he had Mishumadim who learned a little Gemara and they were bringing these things up, is number one, Edom Zaymimim. Edom Zaymimim, right? We have the din of the false Edom. So one of the halachas in the Mishnah is that the Edom Zaymimim can be put to death for what they tried to do, right? Two witnesses say, Reuben killed Shimon. And then they're made Zaymimim with the second pair saying, you were with us, so what's the halacha? If they become Zaymimim before Reuben is killed, we kill the witnesses. But let's say they don't become Zaymimim until after Reuben is killed, they're putter! Because we say, kasher zamam! Like it's machlekes what the drasha is, but with the pasha, the way Rashi brings the drasha is kasher zamam. Witnesses are only chayah for what they try to do. And witnesses are not chaya for what they actually did. So, obviously, people ask, this is not a new question, the Stukim themselves raised this question. Right, so it's not new, but the Goyim were saying, what type of sense does it make? If witnesses try to get somebody killed, get killed, okay. That we might accept. But if they kill the guy, they don't get killed? Now, the emesis, among other things, the Maral does bring the Ramban ala Torah. The Ramban ala Torah does himself offer a svara for this. And the Ramban says, Hashem would not allow a Sanhedrin to kill an innocent man. Now the Emes says, in every case of Hazama, how do you know that the second pair is telling the truth? Maybe the first pair, but the answer is, the Torah says you believe the second pair. But, Itainis, if the second pair doesn't show up until the first guy got, till the Nidon got killed, Hashem is telling you, the first pair were telling the truth, because otherwise Hashem would not have allowed that man to die. You know, there's such a swar. Elokim nitzav biadas kel. So that's one thing that the Maral goes into in the second Taluna. And the other example that people were bothered with is the halacha of unanimous voting in dinei nefashos. Right? When a person is tried, right? So you have to have 23 dayanim for capital punishment. So if it's 22-1 l'chayva, he gets killed. If it's 23 dayanim that he's chay of misa, he goes free. What type of thing is that, right? A unanimous verdict. In fact, there's an interesting shaila. Is this considered sheker? Imagine the following. Imagine you're on the Sanhedrin and you're convinced that Reuven is chay of misa, right? You're makabel yedim. Oh, so they're taking a vote. And you're the 23rd guy. So 22 of your colleagues on the Sanhedrin have said, Chayav, 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 Chayav. It's your turn. If you say Chayav, he goes free. If you say Zakai, he gets executed. So if you believe Aliba Diemis that he's Chayav, what should you say? Should you say Chayav or should you say Zakai? So the halacha is very clear. The halacha is very clear. As Midbar Sheker Tirchak, the Gemara in Shavua says, you are mechuyev to vote the way you believe is the emes, even if al yedei kach the guy's going to go free, right? So you have to vote chayev. So again, the Maral says to people tainas, what type of logic is this unanimous verdict? Okay, so that's what he talks about in Shar Beis Beis are the halachas of Torah Shebal Peh that are keneged what is called the Seichel HaYashor, and of course the Maral's Mahalach is of course going to be that what we think is the Seichel HaYashor is the Seichel HaMukim, and this real Seichel HaYashor would understand these things. Now Be'er Gimel is also on Drushas, but it's on a different point. The second Be'er is referring to the logic of the Halacha. The Halacha is illogical. The third Be'er is not attacking the logic of Halacha, but it's attacking the artificiality of how Chazal interpret verses. That sometimes, you know, they interpret verses, adayin tachas ayin. There's nothing illogical with saying it's mammon, but that's not what the words say. It's keneged the lashon of the pasuk, or they violate the laws of diktuk, or they take a word out of context to build a halacha out of it when that's not what the pasuk is talking about. It's like taking a word and saying, oh, this word means this. Well, in the sentence, it doesn't mean that. Right? It's really the mechanics of drasha. And here, for example, the Maral gives an, I'll give you one example. The Maral gives an example. It says, the Torah says in Kisetse that when you go to war and you're out in the field, you have to have a shovel. The Yaseid, you shall have a shovel with your other kalim, and the reason is that for a latrine, that if one relieves themselves, you should not leave the tsaya out. You got to dig it up or dig a hole and cover it up, right? So that's talking about the need for standards of kedusha and nikias, even in zmanim of milchama, and that's what the pasuk is talking about. Now Chazal have a drasha that yaseid is like a stake, and azeinecha can mean oznecha, your ears. And it says, the reason why fingers are tapered, right, fingers are tapered from wider to narrower, so that when you hear Lashon Hara, you can stick your finger like a yaseid into your ear. I could make a bad joke about Yased Neman. I don't want to. Okay. So the Yased is supposed to prevent Lashon Hara. Okay, that's right. Okay.
This is different. Yeah. Yeah. This is different from the first Be'er where he says that Yoser. That's why it's not in a Torah. But this is.
Yeah, this is a drusha. This is right. Now, one thing I'll tell you is the following. One thing. Yeah, the Tilos Daim is in the first case. Right. Yeah, that's right. Now, the Maral also says, the Gemara goes on and says, that is why your earlobe, that's why your earlobe is soft and pliable. So, I don't know what's going on. Yeah. That's why your earlobe is soft and pliable, because if your finger doesn't work, you can stick the earlobe in, etc. But once again, what do you do? The Maral in the third Be'er is dealing with this problem. How do you read that into the pasuk? Is the pasuk just telling you a zaitika thing, an external thing about Lashon Hara? So here, I will tell you this, again, without getting into the whole pshat here, I want to tell you the Maral does say a very important yisait, and you're going to have to work it out yourself in every time you learn this. And the Maral says, any drasha of Chazal that seems to be interpreting a series of words in a way that has nothing to do with the overall structure of the pasuk or the perek, in point of fact, is connected to it. The Maral says, if Chazal have a drasha of putting your finger in your ear, it is directly connected to the mitzvah of covering up the tzayah. So what he says is, the Torah will be merames to other halachos in a particular parsha, because those other halachas are spiritually connected. So you always have to, so it's not stamazai taking words and making a new thing out of it. You then try to go back and connect it to the Pshuto Shel Mikra. So the Drasha is not replacing the Pashat Pshat, but more than that, it's not simply we got the Pshat and we have the Drash, but the Drash Gufa is connected in its Yesod to what the Pshat is, to the Pshat is saying as well. Again? He
tells you what the
connection is. Well, basically he says the idea, Bekitzer, the idea of covering is that when there are repulsive things, you need to cover them and remove them. And therefore, he says, when there are that's what Tzoya is.
This is in the Torah or in
the Bible? This is in the Torah. No, it's in the Torah.
But
you're
covering the Tzoya.
You're covering Tzoya. It's a different type of Kisa, it's true. But the same way, you cover the Tzoya so it shouldn't destroy the Kedusha of the Machana. You cover your ear so that Tzoya of Lashon Hara shouldn't be nichnas. In other words, it is a different type of kisoy. But that's the idea, so it's connected to that idea. Now, the fourth bear deals with Mamore Chazal that describe attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that seem to be bizarre or inappropriate or even connected our understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is where the Maral discusses HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts on tefillin. Gemara in Brachos. How can you say that? We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a goof. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu put on tefillin? Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu davens to himself. Do you remember Rabbi Yishmael had a vision of the Shekhinah? He was Kohen Gadol, and the Shekhinah davens to himself, to her, whatever. He says, "Yehi ratzon sheyichvash kasi, yichvash rachamai es kasi, may my rachamim conquer my anger." What's the idea of Hashem? Hashem davening to himself. I mean, Hashem can do what he wants without davening to himself. He doesn't have to daven to himself. Or the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Am Yisrael, bring a kapara, the korbanos of Rosh Chodesh. It's called a so'ir chatas l'Hashem, a korban for Hashem. So the Gemara says in Chulin, bring a kapara for me, Hashem says, to forgive me for being mamayet, diminishing the yareyach, the moon. Right, so, again, as I said, today I'm really just giving you an outline just so you know what the Sefer is about. And again, the Sefer is available. You can look at it. And that is the attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that reflect Chas V'Shalom physicality or duality. Right, this can't be so. And now the fifth one is more of a generic idea of what we might call tall tales. And that is, if you remember, in particularly in Bava Basra is the most famous example. The Maral talks about it in the Perek Hamecheres Hasvina, in the fifth Perek of Bava Basra. We have many Maisim from Rabba Bar Bar Chana that, you know, about the ocean and about gigantic sea monsters, and they once stopped at an island and they were making food, and it turned out the island was really a whale or something, and as soon as it got a little burnt, you know, the whale wasn't so happy. Things that, now again, I mean, one answer might be, hey, there's a lot of stuff in the world we haven't seen yet, you know, who knows what's out there. People are still doing the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot and all of these things. But still, the idea is that some of these things seem to be, things that are not emes. tall tales, meisim, are they true, are they not true? So again, the Maral's general shita in all of this is that he says there are deeper meanings here. So instead of, which means, it's interesting, in a way, there's a shtikel haidas baldin here, because like this, the maligim al divrei chachamim are saying, these are bubbly meises, these are not true. What's the Maral saying? Maral's also saying, they're not true in the literal sense. It's like the Rav that once said to the Apikoros, right? The atheist says, I don't believe in God. So the Rav said, well, how do you understand God? So he described whatever. He says, well, I don't believe in the same God you don't believe in. Meaning to say, the Maral, in a sense, is also telling the Malik, you're right. This Gemara does not mean what you think it means. Now, you think it means so-and-so, and you're making fun of it. It doesn't mean that. It means something else. You see, so in a sense, the Maral is actually Maida, that these things are not meant to be literal, they represent spiritual kaichas. And here the Maral goes into Rabbah Bar Bar Chana. And I want to point out that Rabbah Bar Bar Chana has a huge, many swarim on it. The Gra has a long Rikas, and in fact, Rav Aaron Feldman, Rashiva of Neri Israel, used to be Rashiva of Vor Samech, his book, The Juggler and the King, is actually, it's not the Maral, it's an adaptation of the Vilna Gaon's Perish on the Rabbah Bar Bar Chana, Agadata, and the like. And finally, then we get to the sixth. Now the sixth, historically, is very, very fascinating, because this is where he attacks, this is where he moves to the Jewish, critic. Yeah, the fifth are the tall tales. Nice, in the Rabbah Bar Bar Chana. The sixth is the statement that Chazal did not know science. They were not accurate in science. They talked about astronomy. They talked about medicine. Many, many statements of Chazal. Astronomy, medicine, agriculture. And here, the argument of the Maligam is, well, they're not worse than maybe the primitive, you know, people of those times. But remember, this was the Renaissance. The Maral is writing the Renaissance, new discoveries in science all the time, and we're looking at how Chazal described the sun and the earth, and this is where, did Chazal believe in a flat, or, you know, flat earth, or whatever? Did they believe in the sun moving around the earth? Right, so this is where the Maral discusses all of that, and that is the Taina, whether Chazal knew their science, were they accurate, were there yediyas miyusid from Kabbalah, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Was it just scientific knowledge? By the way, this is still a live controversy with Rabbi Slipkin and everybody else, and the like. What is our position on this? Again, I'm going to go back to this. Now here, the Maral once again basically says the following. Here, one of the things he brings is the following. The Gemara in Sukkah talks about Likoy Hachama is a solar eclipse. Many eclipses happen. The sun gets blocked. Eclipses in the ancient worlds were known to be absolutely terrifying. People thought it was the end of the world. And the Gemara in Sukkah says, eclipses occur for various reasons, and are based in Mitzvah Avera, and Naira Hamurasa, when someone is Baal, and Naira Hamurasa. So the time is this. We're in the Renaissance. We're civilized. We know science. We know why there are eclipses, because of the movements of the earth, etc. And Copernicus, the Maral actually mentions Copernicus. He was aware of Copernicus and all of those things. So how is it shayach to say that something that is a predictable part of a natural cycle can be connected to Averis? And it could only be Chazal were superstitious, they didn't understand. So here, what the Maral develops is a very, very important idea. And that is, in every phenomenon that occurs in the world, there is a Siba Tivit. There is a natural cause for something, but then there is the Siba for the Siba. And here is the point. A rainbow is a perfect example. The Maral says, you know, forget about Chazal for a moment. Let's go back to the Torah. Are you going to question the Torah? Even the Catholics didn't question the Torah. What does the Torah say? The Torah says, after the Mabul, Hashem is going to give us a sign that He's never going to destroy the world, at least by a flood. And that's going to be by the rainbow that appears after the rain, which is like an inverted bow, as if to say Hashem is no longer going to destroy us. Now, forget about Chazal. That's not Chazal. That's in the Chumash. Now, what are you going to say? Well, wait a second here. We know why there are rainbows. Rainbow is not some special thing Hashem is trying to show us. Rather, there's water droplets in the air. There's water vapor in the air. And the white light, you know, light strikes the water vapor. It's like a prism. It gets refracted. It gets divided into colors. How can you say there's some type of spiritual meaning to that if that's just the Teva of light striking something like water, striking a prism? So the Maral says like this, wait a second here. Chazal are not interested in giving you scientific reasons for things. But you know, Hashem could have made science in any one of infinite configurations. Hashem could have made a world where white light does not divide into colors when it hits water. Hashem could have made a world where gravity works up instead of down. In other words, any law of physics is not something that had to be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have chosen any possible law of physics. So, Chazal know that the reason why you get the colors of the rainbow is because light hits water. Chazal know that the reason you have eclipses is because of the motions of the earth around the sun and the moon and the like. That is how Hashem carries out these phenomena. But why did Hashem set them up in the first place that way? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create these cycles? Why do these cycles operate? Now, it's a very complicated argument, because with an eclipse in particular, I mean, to say Hashem times the eclipses to correspond to certain averos, that means all the way back when he made the cosmic clocks, and there's the whole speed of the planets, is based on Hashem saying, well, I know that in 5,771 there's going to be a certain avera, so I got to... It's an amazing thing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interacting with the Bechira of human beings in setting the celestial dynamics of the universe. But the Maral's important yesod is that Chazal are concerned with ultimate Siba. They are not concerned with immediate proximate Siba. And Chazal's emphasis on ultimate Siba is not a denial of the scientific immediate Siba that comes in. Okay, this is a very, very important yesod. Chazal are concerned with the Ruchnius Shebedavor. And here he brings in as well the story of Titus. Titus was the Roman general, who later became emperor, but he was actually the general who destroyed the Mikdash. Titus Harasha, Titus, right? He has the triumphal arch of Titus in Rome, that it's a minhag not to walk under, although I'm not sure if there's a mucker for it, but whatever. And the Gemara in Gittin gives us a whole story how Titus died. That a little yitush, a gnat, or a tiny little insect, entered his nose, and it grew into the size of a bird with metallic claws and a metal beak. And one of the Tanoim says, I was at his autopsy somehow. And when they opened his head, this like this little, from this little gnat, it grew into a bird with these metal claws that was Mishkel Shnei Salayim. It was as like a two pounds bird, whatever it would be. So people say, well, you know, that's ridiculous. Those things don't happen. And in fact, even in Roman history, it is recorded that Titus died of malaria, or whatever it is. How do you understand this? So again, the Maral says, see, again, he's made in the sense that an agada like that was not meant to be literal, but rather every physical entity in the world really is representative of a spiritual koach. And Chazal are describing, and again he goes into exactly how, that Titus may have died from malaria, he may have had a heart attack, he may have had a stroke, whatever he had. But spiritually, it was that koach that would have been represented by that bird, and then he describes why that bird would be symbolic of the spiritual machala that killed him. And, you know, Rav Putner once said, it's a nice way of expressing it, he says, we know that in Torah we have Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod. And things that are Emes at a higher level are not even going to be perceptible at a lower level. So, Titus was killed by the spiritual koach of that bird, even if the physical manifestation was something else. Now here, in the sixth shar, we're going to have to stop soon, in the sixth shar, the Maral finishes this, and after he finishes, very, very fascinating, he then says, I'm ready to finish here. If it wouldn't be for a sefer that came into my hands written by a fellow Jew. And this is where he moves away from the Goyisha claims. And he says that a lot of the issues of Agadat I was writing were addressed by this person, and someone gave me the Sefer. And he says, when I got the Sefer, I was so happy and excited, like a chassan likras kala. And then I read the Sefer, and he says, Oy li'einayim shekach rayas, alas to the eyes that have seen this, and alas to the ears, yes, alas to the ears. Now he doesn't mention the name of the Sefer, but he does mention some of the prukim, so everyone knows that. In another Sefer, the Maral, he actually does mention that this is who he's talking about. And this was a Sefer that was written before the Maral, but in the Maral's lifetime, it's called Ma'or Einayim. Now, don't confuse this. There's a famous Hasidic Sefer from the Chernobyler called Ma'or Einayim. Very, very different. This Ma'or Einayim was written in the time of the Maral, and it was written by a religious person, a Shomer Mitzvahs, 100% Shomer Mitzvahs, Azaria de Rasi. Now, Rasi in Italian is red, so the name that he's been in Svarim is Azaria de Min Adumim. He lived in Rome, and he was a physician, and once again, he was absolutely a Shomer Mitzvahs. And he was bothered. It's the reason why the Maral was so happy is because, by the way, you see that the Maral was not a jealous person, needless to say, because you might think, hey, I wrote a Sefer about this, and someone else wrote a Sefer about the same thing, I'm kind of jealous. No, obviously. The Maral says, initially I was very, very happy that another person dealt with the issue of understanding these difficult chazals. Because Rav Azariah ben Adumim was dealing with many of the same questions the Maral had. And Rabbi Zariah ben Adumim's Mahalech was very different. By the way, I would hate to be on the receiving end of this, because Rabbi Zariah ben Adumim absolutely was a frum, maybe even how Slipkin feels, I don't know. He was absolutely a frum person, and his Sefer was Makobo by a lot of people. And then you get the Maral, like the Gadol Hador, unleashes an extremely, like a cannonball, you know, tirade against this Sefer. So the emphasis, Rabbi Zariah was quite confused by all of this. He actually wrote a little bit of an apologetic, another Sefer, which actually made it more makabal. And the emphasis, I think I mentioned, the Maral's own Talmidim, Taisus Yomtif, who was a Talmud, quotes the Ma'or Einayim on some other inyanim. But the Ma'or Einayim's approach was the following. The Ma'or Einayim's approach was essentially conceding almost everything to the other side by saying, when it comes to inyanim of halacha, we are mechuyev absolutely to be maimon in the words of Chazal. Chazal were given the authority to paskin halacha, and we have to accept that. And he says, if one doesn't accept that, they're a kaifer in Teretz Baal Peh. But he says, when it comes to history, like Titus, when it comes to science, Chazal either didn't know, this is what he says, they either didn't know, or, now this is even more amazing, they sometimes lied for higher purposes. And Titus, he gives this example, this is what he says. He says, everybody knows that Titus didn't die with a bird in his head, but Chazal wanted people to know how harsh Hashem is to Rishayim, and they basically made up a story so people should know that evil people are going to suffer. And then he says the following. He says the following drush a little bit. He said, you know, Chazal say it's mutter to lie for darche shalom. It's mutter to lie to make peace. So kal v'chaymer, he said, it's mutter to lie to make shalom between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if making up a story is going to bring people closer to Hashem, Rav Azariah says Chazal sometimes did that. So, be it as it may, this...
We do find one Gemara like that.
Yeah.
At the Talmud, I think his name was Elazar, by Shmuel.
Yeah.
And he couldn't. He didn't want to eat it.
Yeah.
Shmuel told him, don't worry, your Rebbe was by me, Rav was by me, and he ate it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
He eats it. Yeah. And then he goes to Rav, That's not true.
The image is on an individual basis, it's shaykh. But again, this infuriates them all. First of all, even pragmatically, this type of logic is fundamentally illogical. Because if you're telling things that people will be makir are lies, then it's not going to bring them closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're going to say you're a liar. I mean, everyone knows that.
What was that rifus with the blacksmith and the baby?
He says it's all made up. Chazal made up a story.
So
he
the Maharal.
No. So the Maharal goes into the details spiritually what it all means. But I mean, the Maharal makes everything metaphorical, but it's real, but it's metaphorical, meaning it represents spiritual kohos. So be it as it may, I'll talk at the Mori Naim because it's an important sefer to be aware of in order to understand what the Maharal is attacking. You need to know a little bit more about the sefer. Again, I do want to emphasize that Rav Azariah de Min Adumim absolutely said the Divrei Chachamim and Inyanim of Halacha are binding. He was not a kaifer in that at all. But Inyanim of Agadata, he was very flexible. And he relied a lot on sources that are not the sources of Chazal. He relied on Josephus, who was Jewish at least. He relied on Philo of Alexandria. In fact, he was the first Jewish person who utilized those ksavim, and the Maharal is just dismisses that with a lot of, you know, we don't need to have Sifrei Minos, Sifrei Kun. You're judging Chazal by all of these sources. And then he writes, I don't fault this man, because this man was simply addicted to the Svarim Chisainim he was reading, but I fault the printers, so the printers get attacked, that they should print such a sefer and be mefarsim it, because that's going to be machshul the rabbim. And the Maharal says, and that's why I have to address this, because if I don't address this, I am committing two averas. One avera is I'm allowing Chazal to be mevuza, and the second avera, very fascinating, is he who does not defend Chazal is guilty of a lack of hakara sataif, because Chazal did so much for us to teach us and instruct us and elevate us. If I let them be dragged in the mud, I am guilty of the sin of ingratitude. Therefore, he says, I am mechuyev to address this particular issue. Now, just the seventh one is an interesting gate, and this is the favorite one of the anti-Semites, and that they still do today. All of the different Gemaras about how bad the Goyim are, and Amoratsim as well, and you can kill them and throw them into a pit, and all of the so-called statements in Chazal against the Goyim and against Amoratsim, people were using that to show that Judaism is a murderous, violent religion. Now remember, this was extremely important, actually, just pragmatically. The Maharal lived in the era of the blood libel. Okay, the blood libel actually was Yidden died because of this, where Jews were accused of killing non-Jewish kids and using their blood in the matzah. So the Maharal had to have been mefarish exactly what these different gemaras mean. Okay, so these are the seven chalunais of the Be'er HaGadol. Okay, we'll continue a little bit more next week.
How do you dress the Jews?
Say again?